keeps on living fast. And the reading of the Word, God will produce the result by the reading of the Word. Would you do that? I have spoken on this somewhere before, maybe in the neighborhood somewhere here, somewhere across the country. If I haven't, we'll try to approach it a different way for the sake of those. And now Brother Baxter's one does the preaching. I just come down tonight and relaxes me a little this afternoon and for tonight. The letter chapter of St. John, and let's begin about the 18th verse, let's say, and read just a little portion here of the scripture. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not die. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now let's bow our heads just a moment to see the author of this book. Lord Jesus, Master of life, giver of all good gifts by thy grace, we know that we are saved not because of our merits, but because the grace of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. At one time we were aliens, cut off from God, Gentiles, worshiping dumb idols. But in due season, Christ died, the innocent or the guilty, taking us to the Father. And now we are sons and daughters of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be like, but we know we shall have a body like his, or we shall see him as he is. Lord, how we groan in these bodies to be clothed upon with immortality, to be clothed upon with his spirit, that someday, we know this, that in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It only covers sin. And the living just waiting in paradise for the day that sin should be taken away. But when Jesus came, the Son of God, the Messiah, he took away sin. He divorced it. Never covered it. He took it away. Then, now, since then, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one waiting glory. We go straight to the presence of the Father. There to be clothed in immortality. Oh, if this earthly tabernacle, if it should be taken away this afternoon, born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world, speaking like sinners by nature. Then God has redeemed our soul, and has a blessed body waiting for us that will never be sick. Even if all get patient, a body like his own glorious body, then we shall see him as he is. Now, Father, we're approaching your word. There's no man who was able to open the book or to loose the seal thereof. But the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world, he was worthy, and he came and took the book out of the right hand of him, and opened the book and loosed the seal. And now may the Holy Spirit come and get all these words that were just read. May he speak today and go right out over this audience here. And may the Holy Spirit give to the church just what we have need of. Faith. Prepare a service for tonight, Lord. May tonight be the greatest service, not because of us here, but because that thou art here. May it be the greatest service that this Philadelphia auditorium somewhere that'll shake Chicago for 3 or 4 months. Remember, do these exceedingly abundantly today. Prepare the hearts just now. Break up the ground. Drill out all the green briars and the stickers and the thorns and the roots of bitterness, and bring down the Holy Spirit so this night that the angel of God might come over this building in a great need. All we ask is in Jesus' name. Thank you. Thank you, brother. To the approach to the Word now, just for a few moments, I'm going to take my watch off. I don't know where the clock is in the center. And I try to stay no longer than I'm thinking. Coach, you'll have ample time to get ready. And my son, just a few moments ago, asked me to announce to the people that want prayer cards for tonight to be here at 6 o'clock tonight, if possible, to receive prayer cards, those who are afflicted and in need, and to be here at 6 o'clock tonight to receive the prayer card. Now, our scripture goes back today just before the this time was in the ministry of our Lord. He has just become very famous because of God being with him. He was a man with no beauty we should desire. He wasn't much to look upon, probably a little frail looking fellow. And the Bible said that he was not beautiful in the way he's a big 6 footer like, or 7 footer like Saul, but he was a small man. The Bible said we hid as it were our face from him, yet we did esteem smitten, afflicted of God. But the work that God was doing in him was outstanding, that the people knew that he come from God. Or even the Greek teacher said, the king of the night, Nicodemus by name, said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man could do these things that you do, that God with. They know beyond a shadow of doubt. Now, the ministers of them days said, now he's a psychiatrist. He's a mind reader. He reads your mind. That's how you know what's wrong with them people. He reads your mind. He did. And Jesus was a liar. That shocked you, didn't it? But he was. He perceived their thoughts. Is that right? Well, what's mind reading? See? Not one of them sitting out here, one of these little women sitting out on the corner taking the palm of your hand. That's the substitute the devil's got. Something to imitate it. That's the bogus dollar to the real dollar. See? Everything God has done, the devil's made a substitute for it, made something bold. See? And that's the reason the two spirits in the last days come right along in these fallen fundamental, they miss the spirit altogether, you see, like that. And some of these on the radical side go come off into isms with it. But right in the middle of the road runs the true church of God, singing and full of the power of God. That's what's sad. Now, certainly, everything that God has, Satan has something to counterfeit. See, he makes something off of it. And Jesus did perceive their thoughts, so therefore the great orthodox of those days said, that guy is the best fortune teller in the country. He's Beelzebub, the prince of the devil. Is that right? That's what the preachers said. And the great Bible teachers of that day said, he is Beelzebub. Now let's see what the devil said. The devil said, he's the son of God. We know who you are, the Holy One of God. Is that right? And in that state, the devil had more knowledge of God than the ministry did. Is that right? When Paul and Silas was up there and they were doing some great works for God, this little old fortune teller run out down the street every day and cried behind Paul and said, there's the man to tell us the way of life. That's the man of God. And here was the preacher said, they're imposters. They turned the world upside down. They're no good. And there was the ministry saying they're imposters, and the devil saying they're a man of God, which was right. See? The devil was right. Is that right? Sure he was. So you see, even them people, you can get so much on the Word, you think, oh, the Word, that's right. But the gospel came by the word only, but through power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, until the word can save lives. See? Wheat fall right in your hand, but you never get a crop out of it. You got the beer, you let it take on new life. Is that right? Now, the word is right. This is God's way, of course, but this, the word letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. See what I mean? Now, and therefore, the enemy had to testify of God. In his ministry, here he went forth, and things began to happen, and then the churches all closed down on him and said, now, if anybody goes over there to hear him, we'll just get your, and your papers in. You have to go out here, no more. But there's some people by the name of Martha and Mary and Lazarus, brothers and sisters, and they heard Jesus and they seen his miracles, so they didn't care whether he was, what the Orthodox said, what the church said, or nothing about it. They believed him and they went with him. And they believed him because they knew he was the man of God. So he came to stay in their house at Bethany. And now, while he was living there with them, his ministry got so great that one day he had to go away from the home. They crowded him out. Too many people around the place, and the people would come to him in the thousands, and he'd slip all the way from them, go off somewhere else. He'd be alone with the Father to pray. The city would call for him, but he would go up in the mountain alone to see which way the Father was. He came to do the work of the Father. That's what we ought to be about today, our Father's business.
That's right.
Not so much in the social ranks and so forth, but in the Father's business. Now, let's take this wonderful Jesus just a minute and watch his coming just before he came. There was a, first before his coming, there was an announcement. The church had all got all back and all messed up, just about like it is today. And one heaven, this is Pharisees, Sadducees, publicans array, all kinds of isms around. And that's even some man come up and claim he was a great one, and read hundreds out in the wilderness, and they perished, you know the story. And all like that. But it finally came the time for he to come. He's a remnant was waiting for him. And one day, let's watch. I see an old man and a woman, way past the age of marrying, the woman was, and she said, they'd prayed for God all these years to take away her reproach, and she could bear children, as was an honor for any Hebrew woman to have a child. How they changed that now? It's almost dishonor to have a child. Now, isn't that right? You might not say amen, but it's the truth. A woman had rather pay $100 for a little smashing old dog and give it a mother's love out here than to put with a baby. Now, you know that's the truth. Walk it down the street with a little sweater on it, and I seen one of the biggest clinics I ever seen early out here, the dog clinic. I don't see it. I can't see it. All right, anyhow, that's up to you and God. Now, look, then Zachariah was a righteous man, a priest, and he come to the house of God, and his office was in there to burn incense while the people were praying. And then one day while he was burning incense, the time of the promise is drawing nigh. And God sent an angel down to the altar. Do you believe in angels? Yes, sir. Someone said, I also said, Brother Branham, you're mistaken about that man that talks to you. So that was the Lord. I said, it was an angel. He said, I am sent from the presence of God. He wasn't the Lord. He was an angel. Oh, so that's all mistaken, said Brother Branham. God in old times in the Bible spoke, said there was Daniel and all of that. Yeah, they were had angels and so forth like that, but not New Testament doctrine. And this man was the man that said, we speak where the Bible speaks, and silent where the Bible silent. I thought how silent he was on many things at the Bible spoke. I said, do you mean to tell me that you don't believe that the angels of God meant the note the Holy Spirit leads the church. I said, that's correctly, but they have ministry spirit sent in the presence of God. He said, not in the New Testament, brother. I said, oh, yes, in the New Testament. He said, the Holy Spirit, not angels, the Holy Spirit. I said, look, I want to ask you something. I said, it was the angel of God who met Mary. He said, yeah, but that's before Pentecost. After Pentecost, he said, it was the Holy Spirit from then on. I said, truly, the Holy Spirit leads the church. That's truth. But look, I said, do you believe that Philip had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Do you believe it? All of it? Sure he did. But when he was down in Samaria holding a revival, who was it that spoke to him and said, go out to the desert, Gaza? Was it the Holy Spirit? No, sir. An angel of the Lord spoke to him. Is that right? Go out to the desert, Gaza, and speak. Look, how many believe that Peter had the Holy Spirit? Let's see. You believe he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit? When he was in prison that night, he got at John Mark's house and had a prayer meeting for him. Who was it like a light that shined in the window and opened the door for him? Was it the Holy Spirit? The angel of the Lord. How many of these all had the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Well, when he was out there on the ship 14 days and nights, no moon, stars, all hopes of God, he went down in the gallery to pray and he come back up and said, have a good courage. For the angel of God, servant I am, stood by me last night and said, fear not, Paul. Is that right? The angel of the Lord. The whole book of Revelations was wrote by the witness of an angel. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to write into the church. Is that right? John fell down to worship the angel. The angel said, do it not. Not Joseph Smith, but he said, a true angel won't stand to be worshipped. You know that. No, sir, he said, worship God. And God still has angels. And they visit the people, not in worship of angels, but angelic beings who are attributes of God sent forth to minister to the church, to the people. Oh, my, how short we are of the real apostolic church today. We people who claim to be there, who claim to kiss the blessing of the rims of the cup of blessing, how short we come. How we bubble dance on top of the suds and know not what the bottom is. That's true. Now, friends, when I stand back here, I'm responsible not to the audience, but to God. That's right. And my words must be. I know they've got many millions of people that listen and watch every word you say, so I must be with all my heart just as true to God as I can be. And I say today that we never scratch the surface. That's right. The church ought to get down. My. It's like reading and writing arithmetic. Notice. Now, this angel came. He was Gabriel. Now, God says minor angels. That's right. Perhaps the one comes here. Some people, for us, they puff their mind up with angels and things who they think they've seen and things like that. That's just the counterfeit. If a man has seen an angel of God and that God has commissioned, that angel commissioned him from God and it was sent from God, it'll bear a record right down through the line that it's the truth. You believe that? But if it doesn't, it isn't the truth. That's one thing you can depend on. By their fruits you shall know them. That's true. Now, notice this. That this angel was Gabriel. Now, these minor angels come, but when you see or hear Gabriel coming, you get ready for something major that's going to happen. Gabriel was the one who announced the first coming of Jesus Christ. Is that right? And we're taught in the Bible that Gabriel will announce the second coming. You'll sound the trumpet of God. Is that right? The coming of the Lord. The angel of God, Gabriel, who stands at God's right hand. Now, this great Gabriel come down, and here was the priest swinging his incense chair, burning it while the people was out praying. He was standing at the altar, and he looked over on the side of the altar, and there stood the great archangel. In fact, the priest. And he told him all about his life and things and what he was going to do. He said, after days of your ministration here, go home. Tell Elizabeth, your wife, and she's going to bear a child, and you'll call his name John. Why, look, that priest now said, how can these things be? She's old. See, there's righteous people walking in all the light of the Lord. That's the kind of a home that God can get into. Now, if you're serving all kinds of parties and beer and everything in your house, God will never visit you there. That's right. But if you've got a home that's cleaned up and living for God and swear and a Bible open and a few tear stains on it, God can visit you. That's right. Because you've opened up a channel that he can come to. And that's where it was. Now, when God had answered the prayer of Zechariah and Elizabeth, it like to scare him to death, of course. He didn't think that it could happen. But he said, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and my words shall be fulfilled in their season. And then he came back out, and the people, he was stricken dumb. and he was going to be dumb until the day the baby was born. And then out come Zechariah and the people. He beckoned to the people. He had seen a vision or something. So he went home, and Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 6 months, and she was to be a mother. Then watch just down in Nazareth, the meanest city in the country, worse than Chicago probably. Then, for your daddy's Jeffersonville, where I come from. Then the first thing you know, well, there's a little virgin one day engaged to a man about 45 years old, widow with about four children. While she was coming home in the old rental type, probably is on a Monday, she's packing her wash water on top of her head, maybe in a jar as they do it, walking on, and all at once before her flashed a big light. She frightened the little virgin. She looked, and there was a Gabriel standing by her side. Said, "Hail Mary," or "Stop." Said, "Blessed art thou among women." Said, told her how that her cousin Elizabeth had conceived in her old age and was going to bear a child, and said that she was going to have a child, knowing no man. Now look at the difference between Zechariah, that minister who had studied the scriptures over and over and over and over and over and over again, had plenty of examples. There was Sarah and Hannah and so forth back in the Old Testament. Plenty of examples. He doubted it to be so. But this little girl didn't doubt. She said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." What a difference. Now, sometimes you can callous yourself reading the Bible and just by reading a newspaper and having about the same kind of faith that you'd have in one, then you callous yourself. When you read God's Word, believe it just like it says it is there and take God at His Word. Now, as soon as she read this, or she's seen this before her, and the angel of the Lord said, "You're going to have a baby," look what she had to believe. Well, she had to believe something that had never happened. Zechariah didn't have to believe. Plenty times did it happen through the scriptures. He had plenty of examples. But Mary had to believe something that was total impossible and had never happened before. But yet she didn't stagger at it. She just said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me." She took God at His word. And today, right here now, while hundreds of people around the world has been healed in these great campaigns and this latter revival that's sweeping the world, right today, right at this minute, thousands and scores of people in meetings here in the United States are being healed right now by the power of God. Plenty of examples, every day, every night, and yet we sit and wonder, "God, why don't you do this and why don't you do that?" Take God at His word. Mary said, "Behold, thy handmaid of the Lord." She started rejoicing. She was happy. God had promised it. She knows she's going to have a baby. I believe I spoke something about it last night. She didn't wait till she felt right. She didn't wait till she was positive. She didn't wait till any visible sign. She just believed what the angel said was the truth. There you are. The trouble of it is we question God. And if we question God, we can't believe God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you don't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Amen. I begin to feel a little religious right now. Take God at His word. She began to rejoice and praise God just as soon as she heard. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Is that right? Faith cometh by hearing. As soon as you hear the word of God, it says you can be set free. Believe it. Rejoice with it. God will show the evidence after you've accepted it. That first you accept it. Christ died for sinners. I believe it. I accept it. I start rejoicing. God's word's righteousness by it. I believe He has died for my healing. I believe it. I accept it. God's word's healing for me. See? Just as soon as I believe, He can't help me till I believe. I've got to believe and confess it first, and then God's under obligation to His word. And if He's Almighty God, He can do all things. And if He cannot do all things, He's not Almighty God. There He is. All right. Notice what kind of a boy ought this to be. What kind
kind of a person. God keeping His word. God's promise to do anything, God will do it. When the children of Israel was led out of Egypt, God promised to take care of them as they journeyed through the wilderness. God said He would take care of them, and He did do it. No matter where the path led, any enemy got in God's path, it'd give away. I can see them come up to the Red Sea. God had His map drawn out, where He's going to take them. They will move out to the Red Sea, no way at all to cross it. There was Pharaoh's army. There are mountains on one side. Pharaoh's army here, the Red Sea in front of them. Moses lifted up his hand. Psalm 72 says, God looked down. He seen that path laying to the bottom of the sea. There was His children right there meeting the promise, taking God at His word. God looked down through that pillar of fire and with angered eyes. And when He did, the sea got scared and moved back like that and made a dry path, and Israel walked through on dry ground. Take God at His word. When they crossed the Red Sea, them uncircumcised, those people pretending to be like the make-believer today, trying to do so, perished. Their great victory come when they seen the optic side perish. Miriam got in the spirit, grabbed up a tambourine and went out on the bank, dancing. I shout to you. Dancing, beating a tambourine. And the daughters of Israel follow her, beating tambourines and dancing in the spirit. That an old-fashioned revival, I don't know nothing about. Victory! There lay the dead ones laying in the back, the ones with all the things that have bothered them. When that old sickness that bothers you, that old stomach trouble, oh my! When that old spike, that old singing, them things that set you back and held you back, when you walk through the blood of Jesus, shouter, and God has cleansed your soul, there'll be another dancing party take place. The joy of bells in heaven will leap up in your heart. There was the leader Moses, got so excited. Yeah. He threw his hands up in the air and sung a song in the spirit. Sounds like camp meeting time, doesn't it? Yes, sir. Now, they had come away from all their crops. They had come away from everything they had. A little basket of kneaded bread on top of their head, they packed out, was eaten. No bread, nothing to eat. God has promised. All right. They went to bed that night. They woke up the next morning, and the ground lay full of manna. God supplying everything they had need of. There was manna laying all over the ground. They went out and picked it up. And when they began to eat it, it tastes like honey. Oh, my. Did you ever eat some of it? Some of the manna. What a beautiful type. Now, he said, don't pick up enough today on Saturday. Just Saturday alone to last through the Sabbath. He said, pick up just enough today to eat today. Tomorrow, get some new. The trouble is with people today, they're trying to depend on an experience they had about 20 years ago. Amen. You know what happened to that manna? It got wiggle tails in it overnight. And that's what's the matter with a lot of our Pentecostal experiences. We're relying on something that happened way back under, and it gets wiggle tails in it. It gets stale. What about today? This is today. Today is the time. Now, I notice on that wonderful, it says, tastes like honey in the rock. David said, how sweet it was. There's something about honey that God likes. Notice, David being a shepherd, the shepherds used to carry a scrip bag on their side. And in the scrip bag, they put honey. And when their sheep would get sick, they'd take some of this honey and they would rub it on a rock, and the sick sheep would go over, go to licking on this rock, and while licking the honey off, he got the limestone off the rock, and the limestone healed the sick sheep. What a beautiful type today. Listen, friends, I got a whole script bag full of honey here, and I'm going to put it on the rock Christ Jesus, and you sick keep start licking now, and you're sure to get well. This is good as anything. Lick from Calvary! Not from some man's hands or some superstition, but all for Calvary! Not all for Baptist Church, Methodist Church, Presbyterian, Pentecost, but all for Calvary! The rock of ages! Lick off of that! And they got well. If there was a time that sick sheep ought to go to licking, is today. Notice, God said, now I want you to do this. Go out and get some great omers full of it and put it back to carry to the holy place. But all the generation, that's the Father Asher, when they come in, every man, they come into the priesthood. That was a subject to the priesthood to go in and get a bite of the original manna. That, back in the holy place, didn't receive deterioration. It kept its full value. And every priest, after being ordained a priest to come to the veil, then everyone could take a bite of the original manna that fell on the first day that manna fell. That's when God called him to go get an omer's full of the first. What a beautiful type of the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, as God led the church natural to the wilderness, now God's leading his church spiritual. And our manna, our life-sustaining resource comes by the Holy Spirit. And as soon as the apostles had crossed out all the fear and doubt and gathered in the upper room, God gave them the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When it fell down, that was our manna coming from God out of heaven. Like a rushing mighty wind filled all the room where they were sitting. Cloven tongues set up on like fire. Out of the building they went into the streets and began to preach and testify. God working miracles. Is that right?
Yeah.
Our manna. Now, did God lay some of that back? As Peter said in Acts 2:30 and 38, he said, repent every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, for you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to them as far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Then today, if God's still calling every man or woman that comes to the fountain, fill with blood-drawn, tiny manual veins, and become a priest or a child, a born child of God in the kingdom of God, has a right to the ritual baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not a mouthful, but a whole soul full of the same power that fell on the day of Pentecost. I'm not excited. Oh, I am. Let me tell you something, brother. What the church needs today, it's not a new mayor of the city, or a new Democrat, a new Republican party. It needs an old-fashioned, God-sent Holy Ghost revival. And the Bible, Holy Ghost, back into the church needs. That's what it needs. How marvelous. Yes, sir. When they were thirsty, they smoked the rock. They drank from the wilderness, from the rock. When they were needy, God supplied need. When the Christ was ready to come to the earth, God made arrangements. Now, look at little Mary. Here she takes off up into the wilderness, up into the mountains to see Elizabeth, her cousin. Jesus and John were second cousins. Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. And they went up into the mountain, she did, to enjoy the fellowship of her cousin. That's what we need to do today. This, the deadest thing in the world, the Dead Sea, who takes everything in and gives nothing out.
Yeah.
If we come to a meeting, God fills our soul with glory, we ought to tell 50 people a day, everywhere.
Amen.
Every day, come another 50, another 50.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah.
That keeps the cistern cleaned out.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen.
Notice, then up into the mountains they went. And I can see her as she begins to approach. I see the woman run out. She's sitting there. Let's dramatize this a little. I can see her sitting there a knitting, you know, or crocheting, or what the women were doing them days. She seen Mary coming. She threw down her crocheting and her knitting. Up she went real quick, grabbed her up and on, put her arms around her, kissed her, and said, "Oh, Mary, I'm so happy to see you." Love one for the other. That's all gone about now. Isn't that the truth? All gone. What a day you don't even know your neighbor's dead until you read in the paper. Isn't that right? I remember when we used to be able to borrow money and everything from the farm, the other farmer. Now you try to do it. You have to have some security. It's a shame. Love. That's what the world's dying for today is love. Amen. They don't need to be so orthodox in your teaching. Some fellow, maybe it would be two of us in here agree upon the same thing, but we can't agree this, that the love of God shed abroad in our heart for the Holy Ghost. Let's have love one for another. Jesus said, "This will all men know that you're my disciples when you have love one for the other." Now, you're not long ago, I was down in Florida. I just want to pass this. Mr. Bosworth, many of you know him, old Daddy Bosworth, F.F. Bosworth, held great meetings here years ago. Some of you old mothers and dads remember him in Chicago. And when we were down there, just when he first came into my meeting with Evan, I went out there for the little kid who's holding a meeting. He said he's just about 400, so went out and had a meeting, and that night a duchess come up. I think that's what you call it. One of these women, you know, the highest society. And so Brother Bosworth said, "Brother Branham, this duchess that owns this, all this property out here wants to see you." I said, "Well, I can't now." And so when we passed through the tent that night, back in the little prayer room, here she was standing there. Oh, brother. Underdressed and overpainted, you know. Two crazy earrings hanging down, look like skirts of the devil, you know. The saddle set right between her neck, riding right down. And there she sat there, she had a pair of glasses out. She held, I'm not making fun of the woman, but not enough clothes on to want a good musket shotgun. And there she stood out there with these glasses on a stick like this, you know, holding out like that. She said, "Are you Dr. Branham?" I said, "No, ma'am." I said, "I'm Brother Branham." She said, "Well, I'm so charmed to meet you." Well, I didn't know what the woman was talking about. I reached up, got a hold of that big old hat and back hand there, about 40 rings, going to look to me like, I said, "Get it down, you're so low when I see you again." Yeah, putting on a lot of dough. What was she? 6 foot of dirt, I done her. That's right. Oh, that's the way it is today. How can you expect anything more? Yeah. When people just bathe their souls in all kinds of corruption and things. Birds of feathers flock together. You know, some of the most beautiful outside birds there is are scavengers. That's right. Or if they don't notice the outside, it's the inside that counts. That's right. All right. There, Mary ran out and met, Mary went to meet Elizabeth, and she hugged her, and she said, "Oh, my, I'm so happy to know that you're to have the child." She said, "Yes, I'm to have the baby. That's true." She said, "You know, the Lord appeared to me also." She had a blessing to explain. So the Lord has appeared to me and told me that I was going to have a baby knowing no man, and I would call his name Jesus. And little John, as far as we know, had never received life. Lisa said she was scared. It was 6 months with her then, his baby, with the baby and no life. That's subnormal. That's altogether subnormal, about 2 or 3 months. And here it was 6 months, no life. And just as soon as Mary spoke the name Jesus, little John received life and began leaping his mother's womb for joy. If the first time the name of Jesus Christ spoke through mortal lips, brought life to a dead baby, what ought to do to a born again church? What ought to do to a sick person? That means Jesus brought a dead baby to life. And the Bible said that John received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or received the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, and was born for the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. There you are. Receive joy and begin to leap in his heaven, and the Holy Ghost come upon his mother, and she prophesied.
Oh, my. Talk about short of the kingdom of God.
Yes, sir. Then Mary returns back after staying with her many days. Look at little old John when he was born. What manner of child should this be? Well, I guess we'll have to send him off to the seminary, cemetery, whatever you want. It's called the dead place. A seminary preacher puts him in mind to eat a baby chicken. A little incubator chicken turned out mechanically, and the little fellow just chirped, chirped for a man and ain't got anything to go to. That's just exactly like an incubator preacher. He's got reading, writing, arithmetic, knows how to stand so proper, and bow his head and holler arm on like a dying cat, and knows more about God than a hot dog knows about a chicken knife. That's right! You know it's true! I'm not going to say amen to it, but it's the truth. That's right. Oh, I don't care if my boy don't even know his ABCs. I don't even know Christ in full heart to sing. That don't make any difference to me as long as he knows Christ in the forgiveness of sin. Look at this little fellow at 9 years old, stuck out into the wilderness, not to some seminary to have some embalming fluid pumped into him. No, sir. He went out into the wilderness. There he lived with God until he was 30 years old. You know the birth of Jesus. We're running short of time, so I won't take time to rehearse that. You know it. But at 30 years old, what kind of preacher ought this to be? Here he comes out of the wilderness, now with his collar turned around and back, the tuxedo coat on, eating fried chicken and biscuits every day for dinner. No, sir! Hallelujah! He's come out of the wilderness with old hairy trousers on, his sheepskin belt wrapped around him like that, but he preached repentance!
Amen.
I can see Herod come up, you know, living with his brother Philip Fly. I hear some of the elders come out and say, don't preach on marriage divorce today now. There's Harry sitting there, old John full of the Holy Ghost. Could you imagine holding it back? Walked right straight up in his face and said, it's not lawful for you to have her.
Amen.
That's right. God gives the John. Why, I say today, what the Baptist church needs some more Johns like John the Baptist.
Amen.
We'll compromise, but we'll preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Brother, he didn't have no education. Never know he had a day of schooling. He never had no degree of any kind, no bachelor's degree or whatever you want to call it, DDDD or what you want to call it. You know what DD stands for? Dead dog. All right. You have nothing to that. But he told him where he lived and what to do. God's given us some old badges like that.
Exactly right.
It says not lawful for you to have her.
Two.
Some fellow the other day I was talking about some lady reporting a story about some lady up playing the piano, and you can, now this is your own business, that's up to you. See? But the lady, she had on so much makeup, that woman had enough paint on to paint a barn.
Almost.
And he said, this man said, Brother Brand, this is my wife, that she's a saint. I said, Brother, don't want to hurt your feelings. She looks like a hank. She don't look like no saint to me. That's what, you know what a hank is down the south? That's a spook. All right. Let me tell you. Listen, the only woman in the Bible that ever painted her face to meet a man was Jezebel, and God fed her to the dog. So if you stand in deep with supposed to be so good, got the Holy Ghost, you say, how do you miss dog meat? That's what God calls this dog meat for me, you see. All right. Let me tell you what we need today is preachers with take their clothes off and stand in the pulpit and claim the full gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
In the face of the Holy Ghost. Get the people you kept shaking in a little bit this way and compromise a little bit this way. That's just exactly the way the Luther is done. That's the way the Methodist is done. That's the way the Baptist is done. And that's the way the Pentecost is doing.
Amen.
Eagle right in the edge it is. But let me tell you something. It's the main thing I'm responsible before God.
Amen.
That's right. I believe that to be the solemn truth of God. Yes, sir. The only thing you have to do is get that heart right. Now, we all live here in the Middle East, Middle Eastern states. We got an oak tree out here. Every year, all through the winter, the old oak tree passes leaves, just the same. Spring of the year, there's the old leaf on the tree. You don't have to go pick them off. Just let the new life come up, the old leaf goes off. When a man's really born again in his heart, woman or man, the old life drops away, the new life comes in and takes its place. Just let them get right with God, then you can notice by the fruits you shall know him. And let me tell you, my friend, I better shut up right here. That's right. I remember in my life story, the first little date that I had to go out, I had a little old girl out, thought, you know, you had your first girlfriend. Oh, she had eyes like a dove and a neck like a swan and teeth like pearl. I thought she was the prettiest thing I ever seen. When we went out, boyfriend and I, we got cokes and some sandwich. I'd come out to give some sandwich to my little girl, and she was eating the sandwich, and we drank the cokes, and I'd go run the bottles back in. When I come back out, that's just the days that women begin to lose their grace, you know, and so here she was smoking a cigarette. I looked at her. I always had my opinion of a woman who smoked a cigarette, and I still have today. It's the lowest thing she ever done. Don't let your face get red. Don't get up and walk out when you're guilty. All right. Well, let me tell you something. If God thinks, if he thinks that that's the way the angel of God witnesses me here right this afternoon in the platform, you'll have a hard time getting to the gate, John. I'll tell you when you come up before him. First, quit! Stop! Lay aside, you things! The hour of judgment is at hand. And if the virgin Mary had to go in down into the upper room and tarry until she received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and come out stagger like a drunk woman, you will never get to heaven anything cheaper than that. That's right. Women, man, listen at me. I'm telling you the truth. Get God down in here, he'll take care of the rest of it. Now, then just look around. You don't have to say, well, I got it. The fruit sure it's not. Well, that's, don't say that. Just go ahead. You know where you're at. All right. Now, look, then I seen John, when he came out there and began to preach my, just with repentance as hard as he could preach, laying the axe at the root of the tree and every tree that bringeth forth my good fruit, shewing down cast into the sea. And then notice, or into the fire rather, then along came Jesus, when he was baptized, went straightway out of the water, and the voice of God spoke to this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, into the wilderness, he went to be tempted of the devil. Every man and woman that sits here baptized with the Holy Ghost, immediately the devil sets in from every side. If he didn't, then you better go back. Then every time when you get healed, here come symptoms moving right around and in. If it didn't, be careful. See, faith's always there to be said what God has done. Then his ministry got great and away he went. Out into the, then come to our text. Quickly now. Then we see Lazarus, he went away from the home. And as soon as Jesus left the home, sickness set in, sorrow set in. And listen, Christian, when Jesus leaves your home, sickness and trouble will set right in behind you. When he leaves your home, get ready for trouble. Because it's on its road right now. You welcome him in your house. Let him be the unseen guest. Set out the table. Never eat without thanking him for it. I see many people call themselves Christians, never return thanks. This is illiterate as a hog under an apple tree. A hog can sit under an apple tree and an apple could beat him on the head all day long. He'll eat till he can't grunt no more, hardly, but he'll never look up to see where they're coming from. That's right. That's exactly the truth. People just so unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth breakers, false accusers, incarnate, fierce, and despisers of those that are good. Training a heady, high minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Amen. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, some such turn away. Amen. That's what the Spirit said in Timothy. Is that right? Amen. Here we are living into the day, and Pentecost didn't ride as good. The only people going right as good is headlong. That's true. Oh my, what a sad sight it is. What we need today, brother, is a revival. Watch, I see Jesus now go away from the home.
there's a tough seat. Now, this is history. We told him he had hemorrhages in his lungs. I don't know. That's not the Bible. That's just a historian writing. He had hemorrhages. Well, Jesus went away from the home. Then Martha and Mary and all of them left the synagogue and was following Jesus. They sent for Jesus to come pray for Lazarus. You think he done it? He walked out on the way. Now, if that was in you, if you said you were a pastor and he wouldn't have come, you'd say, well, the old hypocrite. I'll never go back to the Philadelphia church again. I'll never go back no more. He didn't come. But if Mary would have thought that, Martha, what a day it would have been. Now, he never asked me to say that. I just said that. That's the any church. You've got to have faith in your pastor as a man of God.
Amen.
Be it, isn't he? Get him out and get somebody in there. That's right. Don't stop the church. That's right. Go on. If he is a man of God, if he doesn't live and do and act and preach what he should, take him out. But somebody else is. They will do it. Now, then you've got to have confidence. This is the house of judgment, the house of God, where God comes down and passes his judgment. Your pastor is supposed to be a righteous man. The congregation is supposed to be with him. 100% you're supposed to be just 100% together. And in there, if you're not, then Satan's got a way to get in. He got a loophole somewhere. So have everything cleared out. Then when they sent again for Jesus, instead of doing that, he just went on. Never come and said a word about it. He'd had a vision from the Father. I'll pick that up there tonight if I can. He'd had a vision from the Father that Lazarus was going to die and he had to follow his vision. Of course he did. He went on. After a while, they said, our friend Lazarus sleepeth. One of the disciples, they said, well, if he's asleep, he's doing very well, and he's recovering, he's getting better. Then he let them know in their own language, he said, he's dead. And for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there. But I know where he knew where he was going. God already told him. He followed what the Father said, and not what man told him, what God said. You know just what to do. I hear someone say, hey, that holy Lord was around here preaching divine healing. Oh, he's funny, he got to speak for them here. Says, that's too much of a job for him. He can slip away. Now, we'll see about that. All right. Then said, I go away. Now, the first day passed. Grievous things. They come in, got Lazarus, took him, bombed his body, taken him out, buried him in the grave. All hope was gone. The second day passed. Still dark. Third day passed. Corruption set in his body. The fourth day had done gone. Then, the first thing you know, somebody come there, little Martha and Mary, sitting in the home crying. The breadwinner was gone, all that left. Look what was gone. They give up their church. Now the man that had their confidence in, seemingly had betrayed them. All hope was gone, their brother was dead. They turned out of church. This man was teaching divine healing and the pastor life, he was gone. All hope, everything was gone. About that time, Jesus come along. That's usually when he comes. Just in the darkest of hours. It was the darkest of hours when Jesus come along. I was laying down in a hospital. The doctor walked in and looked at me. He said, my boy, you have 3 minutes more to live. Your heart's beating 17 times in a minute. Darkest hour. Then Jesus come along. Yes. The D. Howard Tingle down here in Indianapolis, laying right there on the street. Trump! Fire's blowing his mouth! He staggered into the church where he had backslid, and the Democrats had made a big rally hall out of it and went down into the basement. Trump! Staggered over the cold pile of Our Lady's Mother's pictures. That is praise the darkest hour he'd ever seen. Trump! Passed out! Then Jesus come along. Yes! John, one of my old brothers told me I had a short time to live. Jesus come along. It's always the darkest of hours, then he comes along. He's always there just at the time, the right time. Jesus came along. Now, the old Martha, she's been very dilatory about things, about the kingdom of God and so forth, but I'm more encouraged. As soon as she heard Jesus come, here she went, and so on she could go. I just said, now look at her going. He goes out there and they say that Holy Roller's coming back. He just brushed him aside.
wanted to get to Jesus. Boy, if they'd been reading over there in the Bible somewhere, one time there was a Shunammite woman who did a great favor for a prophet. She knew he was a prophet. His name was Elijah. And Elijah blessed her and told her she's going to have a baby at a certain day, at a certain time. And that baby was born when she passed the age of marriage. And she brought the baby. The little baby must have got a sunstroke or something. He said, my head is out in the field with his father about 11 o'clock today. He sent a servant in, put the baby on the mother's lap, and the baby laid there until noontime and died. Look at that Shunammite woman. How faithful. She tucked the baby right up to the little chamber where Elijah had been sleeping. She made him a place there where he could sleep when he come back. What a good place to take him, up to the prophet's bed where the prophet slept. She laid him down on the bed. She went out to his servant, and she said, settle there now, and go forward, and don't stop.
Oh, my.
Let's not miss it. So let's go to the Mount Carmel to where that prophet's at. And her husband said, it's either new moon or Sabbath, he won't be there. She said, everything's all right, let me go. I like that determination.
Yeah,
I like that. Hallelujah means praise our God, Hebrews, so don't get worried about it. All right. She started off. She said, don't you strike up. You drive now. Drive as near as hard as you can go. When she got close to Mount Carmel, she knew one thing, that God had given her that baby, and the closest representative on earth she knew of was Elijah and his prophet. She didn't know why God took the baby, but she knew if she could get in contact with that prophet, because God was in the prophet.
Amen.
If I can get to that prophet, I'll find out why my baby's dead. He was the one who told me it would come, and I know that's God's prophet. And if I can only get to him, I may have to drive hard, I may have to drive a long way. But if I can get to the prophet, he can tell me why this baby's gone. So listen to the prophet. God don't always tell his prophets everything's going on. So Elijah walked out to the door, and Gehazi was with him, and he said, there comes that Shunammite. Said, she looks weary. Something's wrong. He said, God kept it from me. I don't know what's the matter. So he said, when he seen her coming, she got up close. She said, is all well with thee? Is all well with thy husband? Is all well with the baby? Listen to this. All is well. Right now, let me tell you something. All is well. Why? The baby of Christ. Her husband wringing his hands and walking the floor and her heart broke. All is well. Her faith was that she could get to the prophet. That's all she needed to do. I found you, Elijah. You are God's representative. God is in his prophet, and I've come here now. I'm satisfied that God will reveal it. All is well. Sure enough, he fell down to his feet. Gehazi thought, yeah, there's 14 people with his master. He jerked her up. Then let her alone. Said her heart's grieved, and I don't know what it's all about. Then she began to reveal to him what had happened. Now what? He said, Gehazi, take my staff, and you go forward, go to the baby. If somebody speaks to you, don't speak back. Somebody salutes you, don't salute them. Somebody says hello, don't say nothing to them. Go straight. That's what's the matter today. When we got a message, we stop for social affairs, for dinners and parties, everything like that. And we'll stick and go and talk about this, so and so. Oh, and we can't get no word. Our man has stopped God's message. Let's go forward. To take my staff. Elijah touched that staff. Elijah knew that anything he touched was blessed. Why do we lay hands on the sick? Why do we ordain the elders to lay hands on them? Elijah knew what he touched was blessed. I think that's where Paul got taken a handkerchief from his body.
Right.
See? Paul knew that whatever he touched was blessed. If the people don't believe it, they'd say this, it gets the same blessing.
Right.
Just the same as he prayed for them, laid hands on them, whatever it was.
Right.
And Elijah knew that staff would be blessed. He said, Gehazi, put my staff in your hand, hold it before you, and go forward now, and don't check for nothing. Anybody speaks to you, don't speak. You got a commission now. Go take this staff. That was all right. The handkerchief was all right. But that Shunammite woman, she didn't know whether God was in the staff or not, but she knows God was in the prophet. She said, go on with her now. She said, as the Lord liveth and your soul liveth, I'm not leave you. Oh, there you are.
That's right.
I'm going to stay right here. Right by your side. You got me on your hands now. Until we know about this. He said, go on with her. And the guy, he said, went ahead. So he girded up his loins and started off with her. Here they go. The woman with the prophet. Her heart's desire. Going on down. Elijah said, I don't know. He ain't told me nothing about it. I can't tell you. I'll go down there then. Here come Gehazi back. Said, did you lay the staff on him? Yes. Was any sign? No lies. He's still asleep. He's still dead. He's gone. See, the woman's faith wasn't in that. It was in the prophet. She knew this. Well, if she'd have believed that God was with the staff, they'd done the same thing. But she knew God was in his prophet. So, here's one of Elijah. They're all the neighbors together at the door, and they were weeping and screaming and mourning and carrying on like that. Old Elijah walked into a bunch like that. Walked in, pulled the door together, shut the door. There lay the little corpse. Many, many hours had been dead, probably a late evening. Elijah walks up and down the room. Oh, my. Hallelujah! Walking up down the room. Walks over. He knew God was in him. He laid his body on the baby. Put his lips against his lips, his nose against his nose, his forehead against his forehead. He held his body there. Not prayer, but his body. He laid there. As you are, he felt his flesh was getting warm. Got up. Walked again. Oh, my! Up and down the floor. To and fro. A howling outside and screaming and carrying on Elijah walking. Walk back again. Throw his body across the baby. The baby seen seven times. Pick it up. They call that human eye now. There you are. Now, no doubt Martha had been reading that. She knew if God was in his prophet, surely he was in his son. Hallelujah. I'm very sorry, but let me get to the Son of God. I have consolation when I get there. She runs out and looks like she could have raped him. Looks like she could have scorned him. Say, why did you come to my brother? Why did you come when we called you? We left everything to follow you. We left the church. We lost all of our prestige in the city. We've done everything. And when we sent for you to come to pray for your own bosom, buddy, you refused to do it. Seemed like she had a right to do it. If she would have done that, the story would have never been written. It's your attitude towards it.
Right.
Your attitude towards God's divine gift will judge just what you ask.
Right.
Do you understand? Oh, how I'd like to stop right here, Brother Bolden, and punch that for about a half hour. But I can't do it. Your attitude. God can send a gift, and no matter what you do, it depends on what attitude you take towards it. Look at them bullies, Satan spit on him and everything. Was no virtue there, but a woman that neither was touched the hem of his garment and healed. Is that right?
That's right.
It depends on what you think about it. God says that it's your attitude towards any divine gift determines what you get out of it. So there,